This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi folks, Bob Main here. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Show. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 112, to be exact, and this is a practical show. I am not a gunsmith, ex-law enforcement, ex-military, or a firearms trainer. I'm just an everyday guy. I just love to shoot and conceal carry, and I firmly believe in the Second Amendment. Some people call me a Yankee with a gun. I was born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin. Now I live in the great gun-friendly state of Texas. This show is about women. I got your attention now, didn't I, guys? It's about women and guns. Now, several months ago, I did a show entitled Women and Guns, and I had a lady on the program. This time is no exception. I've got another lady that's going to be coming on the program here. I did an interview with Andrea Clark from the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. Now, her handle, you may know her on the forum as Penguin of Doom. I just love to say that, folks. It's fun to say. Indulge me one more time, okay? Penguin of Doom. That's her handle. And as a matter of fact, you're going to hear from her as to how she came up with that handle and why she calls herself that when we get into the interview. But if you're a lady listening to this show, you're going to love this program. I really believe that. And if you're thinking about getting into guns or you're kind of thinking about concealed carrying, boy, I hope you make the decision to do it, ladies. You know, there's so much violent crime happening to ladies out there. I would love it if every woman would carry a gun, because there's just so much out there that can happen to you, and it's the great equalizer, I guess. So get ready for a good one. And guys, if you have a lady in your life and you're trying to get her more involved in shooting, I think you're going to get some good ideas. Andrea's got some excellent ideas for you to figure out a way to get your lady involved in shooting. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to steal too much of the interview away from Andrea Clark. Before getting into all the major subject matter here, I just want to knock out a couple of announcements. First of all, the website, handgunworld.com. And if you want to email me directly, you can email bob@handgunworld.com. Let me remind you that I also have a YouTube channel. I got a Facebook page. The Facebook page is under Handgun World Show. The YouTube channel is under Handgun World Show. You can follow me on Twitter. Handgun World is my name on that. You probably notice a consistent theme here. So get involved in all those networking things if you so choose. And if not, if you just want to shoot me an email, I gave you the email address to do that. Also, join the Gun Rights Radio Network Forum. Excellent group of people, good folks on there, very knowledgeable folks. And don't forget about all the other excellent podcasts at gunrightsradio.com. That's gunrightsradio.com. And the final announcement I want to make is I hope you like this interview, because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be able to get Andrea back on here and talk some more about some of the things that she's doing for females and the shooting sports. And I'm probably going to include that on version number 2 of my upcoming Shooters Club CD and digital download. I've actually only sold one CD. Everybody else has purchased the digital download. It's easier that way. Just download it straight to your iPod or your computer or MP3 player or what have you. So, if you have not yet reserved a copy of version 2, I'm going to quit selling version 1 by the time you hear this podcast. So, go ahead and reserve version 2. Probably going to be the 15th of March. And as always, I'm going to keep the investment very reasonable. $15. It helps support the show. Folks, I keep this show commercial free. I don't like to have sponsors on here, and I don't want you to hear a whole bunch of commercials. So in return, if you can support the show, that'd be great. $15 investment. Your benefit will be lots of good information. More Steve Zofi on competition shooting. Andrea Clark, most likely, going to be on women and guns and what women can expect to get from her classes. And I'm going to ask her to give some ideas out as to what she teaches in some of those courses. And there's a couple of other interviews I'm just going to kind of keep as a surprise. So, it won't be any information that I've covered on this show before. Just go to handgunworld.com and you can click either the Shooters Club page or you can click the Buy Now button. That's it. I don't want this to be too commercial. Let me just say a couple of things here to set up this interview. At one point in this interview, you'll hear Andrea and I talk about moving a semi-automatic pistol out of battery. And I don't advocate, if somebody has a gun drawn on you, that you put your hand on that gun unless you really know what you're doing. If you're highly skilled and highly trained, great. But I would recommend that you get off the X and get out of the way and get out of the shooter's line of sight and get out of the way of the muzzle of their gun. So, kind of a little bit of a mistake. I don't want you to get the wrong opinion from this interview. The reason that I was showing Andrea and her husband when we recently went out to the shooting range together, the reason I was showing them how easy it is for a semi-automatic to be pushed out of battery and therefore not fire, is in case someone's on top of you, maybe the bad guy's on top of you, and you stick a semi-automatic into their rib cage and press it hard, you might push the gun out of battery, and therefore it won't fire. One of the advantages of a revolver is that won't happen. And God forbid, I hope this doesn't happen to you folks. I hope you never find yourself in that situation, but there's a good case for carrying a snubby revolver as a backup gun. Now, some say, well, you can grab the cylinder of a revolver and keep it from firing. That's kind of hard to do, but I'm talking about you've got the muzzle of that gun pointed in his rib cage or something like that, or it's jammed into his body because he's on top of you, and that's all you're able to do is stick that in his body and fire to help get him off of you. The revolver's not going to go out of battery because it can't. So that's exactly the point that I was trying to demonstrate to Tim and Andrea at the shooting range. And you'll hear that spot in the interview. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when we get there. I just wanted to put that little caveat on there and that little disclaimer. And by the way, when I was demonstrating that to them, we double-checked and triple-checked to make sure we were using unloaded guns. So we really didn't break any safety rules. But, you know, it's how are you going to demonstrate that to somebody without breaking at least the rule of not pointing the muzzle at? So that was my main point there. Now, some say, well, you know, you can grab the cylinder of a revolver and you can make sure that that thing doesn't fire because they can't pull the trigger if you have a good firm hold of the cylinder. That wasn't my point. Again, my point was that if you got it jammed into somebody's side, you could put it out of battery. Or the other thing is if you had to try to fire a semi-automatic from your pocket, like from your coat pocket or something like that, you may only just get one shot off. That's what we were trying to demonstrate in that. So rest assured, we double-checked and triple-checked to make sure the gun was unloaded when demonstrating that to them. I try to be as safe as I possibly can, and I'm a huge advocate for safety, folks. Just wanted to let you know that we were doing things in a safe and orderly fashion. Okay, one more thing I want to mention. I'm looking for show topic discussions, folks. Some of you sent me some excellent emails and comments about the shows that I produce. But I want this to be a listener-supported show. I want you to tell me what kinds of things you'd like to hear about. So if you've got show suggestions, topic suggestions, shoot me an email. If you want to come on the show and be interviewed, if you've got something you want to say that's very informative, hey, I welcome it. That'd be great. I'd love to have you on. Right now, I'm dictating this from my studio on wheels as I'm driving down the freeway here. But obviously, I do stop, folks. And I set up my computer, and I am stationary, usually in an office or in a hotel room when I do these interviews. I practice safe podcasting, okay? I just wanted you to know that. Also, don't forget to put an iTunes review on the iTunes account if you use that to download this show. Okay, without further ado, let's get right into it. Andrea Clark, also known as Penguin of Doom. Thank you. I had to say that just one more time. I won't be... Well, you never know. I might say that one more time in the interview. I just have fun with it. Okay, here comes just a quick public service announcement from the Gun Rights Radio Network and gunfacts.info. And on the other side of the announcement, my interview with Andrea Clark.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, well, joined by one of the listeners to the show. I'm joined by Andrea Clark. How you doing, Andrea?
Pretty good, thanks.
Well, good. I want to just tell everybody that she's not only a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network forum, but she's also on today's Survival Show forum. If you're wondering, her handle is Penguin of Doom, and I love that. I've always been wanting to ask you this, and I forgot the last time we went shooting. How did you come up with that?
That is something I came up with... probably almost a decade ago now. I just wanted an email, something I could send all my junk stuff to. And I was like, there we go. And it just came around.
Well, that is a cool handle, Penguin of Doom. I like it. That's cool. Well, you have some firearms certifications. Tell us about those.
I recently started getting some NRA certifications to be an instructor with them. The first thing I did was I went to a weekend class that got me certified for safety in the home, basic handgun, first steps. And after that, I liked it enough that I went on and took another class to do personal protection in the home. And I just recently got scheduled to get certified to teach the Texas CHL. That class won't be until April, but after that, I can teach it.
That is terrific. Now, tell everybody as we get started about your website.
My website is www.fastdefensefamily.com. And Fast Defense, FAST is an acronym for Firearms Awareness and Safety Training.
Oh, cool.
Because one of my really big things is that guns really are, they're used by a lot of people, but the people they should be used by the most are the people who are least likely to use them, which are going to be women who are more vulnerable situations, like single moms, stay-at-home moms, and especially people with families. And so safety is a really big deal, and I make a big deal about that in my classes and stuff, not just the four gun rules, but also how to have kids and firearms in your home safely.
Yeah, that's terrific. And, you know, first of all, I'm glad that you are taking the approach of wanting to teach more women, because it seems to me like a lot of ladies, and I'm not putting all ladies in this category, but I'm going to put some of them, they either buy a gun or somebody buys a gun for them, and they go run one box of ammo through it, and then they never pick it up again. And then on that day when they really need it, they may not know how to use it.
I actually have I say I love guys. I know you don't mean anything by it, but you do all the wrong things when it comes to trying to get your women into guns.
Really? And, well, tell us about that. What do we do wrong?
Well, I've got my brother, bless his heart. He just turned 21 yesterday, and he's been dating this girl for, they've been going out for more than at least 2 years, And so she's been around her family a lot. And she grew up in a household that was fairly anti-gun.
Yeah.
And so being around us for a while, she decides one day and tells my brother, you know what, I kind of want to learn how to shoot. And he gets really excited because he's like, yes, I want this. I've been waiting for this. So he gets real excited and he starts telling her all about guns. Here's all the different makers, the different models, how they're different. This is better than this. And just inundates her with information. And she's just like, whoa.
Yeah, she's so that's like, the first, give me a break.
Yeah, and that's the first thing is guys get it. It's like talking about race cars. Just because as a woman I would like to get a car that looks nice and is speedy doesn't mean I want to know how all the different engines work.
You don't care.
I don't care. And so somewhere along the line I might care, but as a beginner, it's too much. So that's the first thing is too much information. I mean, you don't learn football by having somebody list all the different rules and all the teams and all the players and positions. You absorb information a little at a time.
So the first thing I guess you're saying is us guys, we give too much information to women when we're trying to get you interested, right?
Yeah, just make it. I mean, we don't care about specifics like that a lot. It's just like cars. My husband works on cars. I don't care about a lot of the stuff. I just want to know the end result of whether it goes fast enough for me.
So same thing with guns.
Yeah.
Well, that's good advice. Now, I understand part of your training goals as a firearms trainer is to do some women-only classes, right?
Absolutely.
So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about what are your goals in teaching women? What do you want to do?
Well, the first thing is guns are – they're still very much a man's realm. And so I want to bring guns into a world that we understand and exist in ourselves on a regular basis. And I was thinking about that, and one day it kind of struck me. I was like, you know, going gun shopping is like going shoe shopping. And there's a lot of parallels there.
Ah.
And if you think about it, every gun really has a purpose.
Right.
And in that same way, you wouldn't buy sneakers to wear with the little black dress to go on a date. You wouldn't wear cowboy boots to go swimming in or flip-flops with a business suit. So you've got to consider all the different things. These are all appropriate shoes to buy, just maybe not for that particular situation.
Well, that's a good point. So just like ladies pick out a shoe for a specific purpose, same thing with guns.
And there's a lot of give and take when you're picking out shoes. So I might not want to spend enough money to buy a Prada, or I might want to. It depends. I have to look at what I have and what my needs are and really start considering, you know, there's money and that 5-inch heel looks really good with my dress, but do I want to wear 5 inches all night long? Maybe, maybe not. So there's a lot of factors in buying a gun that kind of interact with each other, and it's a give and take relationship. And that relationship is very much similar to shoe shopping.
So what can a woman who wants to learn to shoot, what can she expect by taking your class?
Well, there's several different classes. I suggest for an absolute beginner who says, I want to buy a gun. I want to buy my first handgun, to start with the first choices class. And that's going to talk about safety, safety with the gun, safety in the home, how to store it and stuff. And then we're going to talk about the different kinds of guns to expect, the different factors that you need to consider in buying it. And when she leaves that class, she should have a pretty good understanding of, I can pick out a gun for myself. I don't have to have somebody else pick the gun out the counter for me. I don't need my husband to bring home a gun for me.
Yeah, you know, I think, Andrea, I think that's really cool. I think that you're on the right track. If you're going to teach women how to pick out their own gun, you know, first of all, guys, I hope you're listening. You know, let her pick it out. Don't be bringing her a gun and say, here, go shoot it, right?
I love that because I've seen several people I know they go to the gun counter and guys suggest guns, or husband brings home a gun for them, or husband wants to teach them to shoot. And so many times they do I know you have best intentions, but it's stupid because you bring home the little Ruger LCP or the little cute pink-handled snub-nosed revolver, and those are horrible guns to start with. And I don't think guys understand what those guns really say. Because if you think about it, First of all, you picked out a gun for her, which you're telling her she can't do it on her own. She can't learn to do it on her own.
Right.
You also picked out something that's uncomfortable to deal with the recoil, because those guns in particular are really not beginner's guns, and they have a heavier recoil than other guns you could start with, like a Glock 19 or a Smith & Wesson M&P. You also picked something with a very limited round count, 5-6 shots. So I hope she's a really good shot, because, you know, my subcompact XD can hold 14, not 5 or 6. And so, you know, that's another thing. But also, you gave her a gun that's got a very long, hard trigger pull, which right away is going to decrease her accuracy, especially in trying to learn. Because trigger control is something that even experienced people struggle with. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, we should really consider what we're saying when we bring home that snub nose. Oh, it's cute, and it's got a pink handle, and it's going to fit in your pocket or your purse real nicely, but they're horrible guns to start out with. And even as somebody who'd been shooting for a while going to the gun counter, guys still try and suggest those.
You know, very good point, Andrea, and I'm going to come back to that because you made me think of a question, but I got to tell everybody who's listening to this, I've been out to the range with Andrea and her husband, and I've seen her shoot her XD Compact, and she's pretty darn good. So I want to compliment you for that. You're good with it, and you've obviously learned some good shooting technique. And so congratulations. Keep it up.
Thank you very much.
You know, and that's a good suggestion. So let's get back onto this guys picking out guns for girls. You know, you mentioned something about the snub-nose revolvers. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that guys make. I have to say, at one point in time, I used to recommend snubby revolvers for ladies who were just learning to shoot. I've completely changed my mind on that. And, you know, Eric Shelton on the Handgun Podcast, he brought up a really good point one day. He says, you know, a lot of guys think that if a woman doesn't have enough hand strength to rack a slide, that she should be using a revolver. We forget that some of these snubby revolvers have pretty stiff trigger pulls. And Eric said, what makes you think she's going to have enough strength to pull the trigger properly?
Not only that, but if you rack a slide, you can get anything from 6 to 16 shots off. With that trigger pull on the revolver, you've got to do that every single shot.
Yep. Yep, and it's tough to shoot those little snubby revolvers. You know, it's for good shooters, and if a lady is starting off to learn on it, she might not be all that good of a shot at first, although I got to admit, my wife is a better shot than I am. and I don't have a problem admitting that. And you know, if she were to practice, boy, she would be a whole lot better than I would be, but that's a very good point. So you have a special technique of racking the slide, don't you?
Yeah, I would call it special. I've actually learned it, but actually it was kind of coincidental. I didn't ever hear about this until in the same week I read it in the Cornered Cat book by Kathy Jackson, and I took the class, the NRA class, and my instructor showed us in that class how to do it. So I came across it twice in the same week, but I have to say, I was like, wow, that makes absolute sense. We should have all thought of that before now.
Now, hang on a second. I just want to tell everybody that Andrea and I are talking back and forth on Skype, and I'm watching her do this. So she's going to demonstrate the technique that she uses and that she got from Kathy on Corner Cat for racking the slide. So talk us through it while you're demonstrating it.
Okay. First of all, I've got my XD here, and I'm going to do everything from a right-handed shooter perspective. So if you're left-handed, obviously you're going to switch everything backwards.
Okay.
And so I've got my gun here. I've made sure it's empty.
You can go ahead and step up a little. You can step a little bit closer because it's a little harder to hear you back there. Yeah, there you
okay.
go. Cool. And I can
Better?
See. Yep. Go.
So I've got my gun empty right now because I'm at home and not at the range. Now, you're going to have it in your right hand, finger off the trigger.
Uh-huh.
You're going to tilt it 90 degrees to your left, which is homie style.
Homie style, all right.
Yeah. You're then going to use your left hand, and you're going to grip the back of your slide. Make sure not to cover the ejection port.
Okay, hold on. Let me stop you there for a minute. So what's the advantage of tilting it 90 degrees homie style?
It's easier than trying to put two arms on top of each other, because two arms on top of each other is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get a little realistic. Any kind of woman that's well endowed is going to find that it's more difficult as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to tilt it to the side. That lets your arms be out from each other a little bit further, and it's going to help give you a little more leverage for what we're about to do.
Okay.
So I've got my gun tilted 90 degrees to the left. I've got a good grip. You can't use a little teacup saucer grip. It's got to be a nice, good grip on the gun.
Okay.
And what you're going to do is you're going to straighten your arms straight out, lock your elbows.
Okay.
You want to make sure that your right foot is back a little bit from your left foot. So right now you should be sticking straight out of it. And you're going to pivot your whole body slightly. Your right shoulder, right hip, right foot are all going to push forward a little bit. And you're going to let your left shoulder fall back a little bit. So what it's going to do is it's going to push the whole right side. You're going to use your whole right shoulder, arm strength, leg strength, and back strength on your right side to push the gun forward instead of pulling the slide back to you.
And you can throw your hips into it too, can't you?
Uh-huh. That's perfect. And so you want to kind of pivot your whole body and push it. And I don't know how well you can see it, but you're
I can see it perfectly.
Pivot your whole body on the right side forward. And so that's going to let you use more body strength than just brute force of your arm to try and get it your slide racks.
And I think listeners, even though this is an audio podcast, I think they're going to be able to figure out what you were talking about. And thanks for that demo. You know, so much is made about, oh, well, what happens if she can't rack the slide? Well, I just want to say this. She's only going to have to rack the slide one time. She's only going to have to do it once, you know. Even if you shoot your pistol dry, it's going to be at slide lock. You insert a new magazine and you chamber the new round. You only have to rack the slide once when you load the gun. That's it.
You know, and honestly, if a woman's looking at carrying a gun for self-defense, she should already have one in the chamber. So you can still rack that slide at home. And we all know that, well, I shouldn't say we all know, but a lot of us know the statistic that the rule of three. If you're in an encounter, it's probably going to last 3 seconds, three shots, and happen within, is it 3 yards or 3 feet?
Yeah, 3 yards.
3 yards. So in all likelihood, she's not going to even need to put a fresh magazine in.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, the initial racking of the slide to chamber the first round, you know, it only has to be done once. And if she uses your technique, which I really like that, and you know what you should do? You should make a video of that and put that on YouTube or something.
You know, if I knew how, I would try. I should probably play around with some of the software. I had a new laptop, and I was like, Skype, I heard about that.
Well, you know, I screwed up. When you and I and Tim were out at the range shooting the other day, I should have filmed you doing it out at the range, and I would have put it up on YouTube. The next time we shoot together, I'll do that. Remind me, okay?
Okay.
Good. Thanks for that demo. So I also want to tell the listeners that a couple weeks back, Andrea and I and her husband Tim, we had a chance to meet out at TacPro shooting range way the heck out in the middle of nowhere, west of Fort Worth. But it was a lot of fun. It was a fantastic range. It was one of those ranges where they let you pretty much do whatever you want to do out there. And we did some training, didn't we?
Absolutely.
I gave them some of the ideas and some of the things that I learned at close range gunfighting. Just a few. We talked about shooting on the move, and I showed them how to do that. And I showed them how to check, do 180 degree assessment and do 100 or 360 degree after action assessment. What did you think of all that?
It was really informative. I never would have considered the hardest part of shooting on the move to be not stumbling over my own feet. Because that is really the hard. I'm like, I see my gun, and I can work on my aim, but man, I need to work on my footwork more than I do, you know, even that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what I thought was really interesting is you and Tim, when I was working with you out there, you got a little bit of a practice at shooting without sights, didn't you?
Yep.
What did you think of that? Because I showed them how to shoot from retention and how to shoot up close and personal from about 2 feet away from the retention position. What did you think of that?
You know, the very first shot I took from retention surprised me because I normally when I shoot, you feel recoil. I don't feel any of the escaping gas that's created. And what shocked me was it was so close that I kind of felt that, and it freaked me out a little bit at first. So it's always, I'm really glad that I was able to do that in a safe environment instead of, you know, in a close encounter where you're trying to defend yourself.
Yeah, yeah. We were at an outdoor range.
Yeah.
You know, it was that. You're right. That was a great place for you to practice it at, the outdoor range. Nice sunny day. It was great.
Yeah. So, but it was very interesting because I found that most of my time that I spend practicing, I go to a square range. I mean, I live all of 2 minutes from Winchester Shooting Gallery down here, so I go down there all the time and I shoot. But it's when I tried changing what I was doing with the retention and actually just drawing and shooting from retention, the first thing I did was you default to your training, and everything I'd normally done was straight out. So I tried putting my hands straight out every single time.
Yep.
Every time. It was really hard to break that habit.
Did I help you learn how to break that?
Yeah. Yeah, it helped a lot. And just because, you know, one time I shot and you said, your arms are still out. And I was like, they were. I didn't even notice. I didn't even realize it without somebody there to say, hey, look at what you're doing because, you know, you need to pay attention.
And the reason I wanted you and Tim to practice that is because, you know, it's proven that if you get attacked, especially if it's up close and personal, what people typically say is bad breath distance, you're not going to be able to fully extend your arms. And so you better know and you better have practiced how to shoot from that retention position up in close to your body. You know, when I first tried that at close range gunfighting, I was a little bit scared. I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, I got this pistol close to the side of my body. You know, the muzzle of the gun is like 8 to 10 inches away from my body. This isn't any good. But, you know, after shooting the first magazine that way, then it became fun.
Yeah, and it's very counterintuitive to have the gun that close to yourself. It goes completely against all the safety rules that we've been practicing. And even the fact that you need to tilt the top of the gun away from you a little bit is still counterintuitive because at the range, it's hold it straight up. So...
Well, I don't think we broke any safety rules, did we? You always kept your muzzle downrange. Yeah. You always kept your muzzle downrange. You didn't point the muzzle at anything that you didn't intend to destroy. And you didn't.
I will say we did break that safety rule. We did break that safety rule a little bit when we were playing around with the guns. We were talking about how easy it would be for a person close to you to put your slide back just a little bit, but how it's harder to do the revolver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You weren't supposed to tell everybody that.
Well, you know, three adults can make sure the gun is safe. And part of it, though, is it was very interesting because I would have never considered that a semi-auto in my pocket, you know, one of those little pocket guns, yeah, you can get a shot off, you know, when your hand is in your pocket, but that slide's probably going to catch.
Yeah,
and I never would have considered that you could just push your hand up against that and stop somebody, which is interesting because if you're ever attacked by somebody and you can't get away and you're going to be stuck that close, it's good to know that you can push your hand against the muzzle and make it not work like that.
Yeah, but you know, the biggest reason I wanted to show you guys that is because I wanted to show that most modern semi-automatics, when they're pushed even just a little bit out of battery, they won't fire. And the biggest reason I wanted to show you that is if somebody's on top of you and you got to get your gun out and you got to jam that thing into his rib cage, you know, and fire shots to get him off of you, you could push that gun out of battery and you won't be able to fire it. That's one of the advantages of a revolver, is that's not going to happen. That revolver is going to fire even if you have to jam that thing into his side.
Yeah. That was one of the first things you taught us was the first thing you do in a close encounter is use your offhand to just jam your palm into his nose and create some distance.
Yeah, give him an uppercut into his nose or in his chin or whatever, or give him an elbow to the side of the head. Do something to try to get some distance between you and your attacker.
Yeah.
So, you know, that helps you be able to draw your gun. It helps you be able to at least maybe get the muzzle up in, you know, towards your attacker, even if you have to shoot from the retention position. It helps you do that.
Yeah, it was a really, really good informative session.
Well, good. Thank you. What did you think of when I was working with you and Tim on not using your sights? How important now do you think sights are on a pistol?
You know what? What's very ironic about that, because the very day after we did that, I took an NRA class the very next day, and we covered the exact same thing in a completely different way than you did it. But we covered the same thing, and I'm utterly convinced I had wanted to put different sights on my XD, And I'm not going to spend the money because I don't think that it's really going to be that important or make that big of a difference because, I mean, especially in a close encounter, it's not going to make that big of a difference.
No.
But it really you can shoot because your body trains to – so you have the natural point of aim that you already trained to, and your body's going to go there and naturally aim there all the time. So your sights are for exact precision, but you don't have to shoot a dime. You have to shoot a man. So exactly. It's, you know, they really just don't make that big of a difference in that kind of an encounter.
No, they don't. No, that's good. Well, thanks for the compliments on that. And, you know, since we're talking about it, everybody has heard in the previous segment when I had John Payne on here, the instructor who is going to teach the close-range gunfighting class in the Dallas area May 28th and 29th. These are some of the things that we're going to be working on, and I'm going to be repeating that class. So I'm looking forward to that. Andrea, another question. This is something that I've always wanted to ask a female shooter. First of all, tell us what your favorite gun is.
That's such not a fair question. My AR-15.
Well, good. All right. I'm glad you said that.
So
I shot your AR-15 too, by the way. It's a nice AR.
Oh yeah. I was a little hesitant to spend that much money. It was nice, but it was more than I thought we needed to spend, but it really, really is nice and I'm happy with it. So, and my husband's happy. So it means we won't have to upgrade later on. So
and you can shoot it together. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk handguns. This is the Handgun World Show. What's your favorite handgun to shoot?
You know what? It depends on the situation. I love shooting my husband's 1911. I want to get my own. I love it. If I were going to carry it, though, I completely couldn't. The controls are too far out of my reach to effectively run the gun easily. So as a fun gun, that 1911, it freaking rocks.
Yeah, it does. So,
yeah. But I carry an XD right now. I really, really like the XD. And I picked it over a Glock when I was first looking for concealed guns. I liked the Glock okay, but it just didn't fit my hand as well. The XD really had better ergonomics on my hand. But I picked an M&P up in Cabela's the other day, and I might need a new gun now.
Those M&Ps are nice, aren't they?
Oh, I'm going to have to go to the range and rent one and play with it a little bit, but I might have a new favorite at the top.
You know, I gotta agree with you, Andrea. Those M&Ps are fantastic. They really are. And I have nothing against Glocks, XDs, M&Ps, 1911s. I have nothing against any gun. Whatever works for somebody. I mean, it's no big secret that the Glocks work for me. But I got to tell you, the M&Ps, you know, I used to own a couple. I'm very sorry I got rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was thinking about trading my XD in, you know, trading it either for an M&P if I could find somebody or selling it and using the money for an M&P. But I think I'm going to wait until I can just buy an M&P because my very first gun was just the .22 rifle, and it wasn't anything special, but by God, I wish I still had that thing. And yep. So I, you know, don't think I want to sell it.
Never sell a gun. You'll always regret it later.
Yeah.
Just save up for what you want to buy and be patient and find a good deal and you'll be fine.
Yeah, so, it's...
Okay, I got something else I want to ask you. Because I bet you that there are women who are listening to this show, and I bet you this question is going through their mind. What's it like going out to the range full of a bunch of guys and you're out there shooting? Does it intimidate you at all?
You know, yes and no. I'm a little more of the exception to the rule for most women because I grew up with my dad was in the military. I was daddy's little girl. I can remember being 5 years old and playing with his M16 when he was on guard duty. He took it apart and, you know, got all the unloaded it and made sure it was safe. And, you know, I went fishing with him. And, you know, I grew up in a house where we like to play with sharp things and set things on fire. So I really am probably more of an exception. I don't find it that intimidating. Even despite that fact, when I went to get my CHL, I still sought out a class that was not only an all-women's class, but an all-women's class taught by a woman. Because so many of the all-women's classes I saw were still taught by men.
Yeah.
And so it was still more comfortable in a learning environment to be around other women. The range when I'm not, you know, in a learning situation and I've got my own groove going, I really don't feel that intimidated around the guys. But whenever I'm in that learning situation, it's more intimidating for some reason. I don't really know why, but it is.
What would you say to women who do feel a little intimidated out there around a bunch of guys shooting guns?
First of all, the best thing would be if you could find a female instructor or if you can go in groups. I mean, women go in groups everywhere. We go in groups to the bathroom. We don't all have to go, but we need the moral support. So convince your friends that they need to come with you to the range just because you want to go do stuff together. Finding female instructors, if you want to actually have, you know, women teach you is always easier. It's as far as that goes, that I was telling you about my brother and his girlfriend wanting to learn how to shoot, and he completely freaked her out with all of that. And she turned around and said, "No, I don't want to learn. Never mind." Later on, when we were alone, I said, "Do you want to go to the range, just you and me, without any of the guys, and I can teach you?" And she was like, "Yes, I'd really, really like that." So,
that's great.
Even though she might tell you no, she might want to, and it's still intimidating. So really, it's really best to seek out a woman if she's intimidated, because it's comforting.
Andrea, are you saying that sometimes women will say something they really don't mean?
Oh.
I had to throw that in.
Not only will we say things we don't mean, but sometimes we say things we mean, and the meaning that we want it to have has a completely different meaning than what our men interpret it to have.
I just couldn't resist saying that. But I want to say this before we wrap up this part of the interview. When you start your all-women's shooting class, please let me know, because I'm going to see if I can persuade my wife to go.
I actually have one scheduled right now. It's going to be March 19th. It's at the Winchester Shooting Gallery from 2:30 to 5. It's the one where you had to choose your first handgun is what that one is.
You know what? I'll have to look at the calendar, look at the family calendar and see. That one might be a little bit too soon, but let me know when the next one is, okay?
Yeah, it happens to fall on the Saturday of spring, during the last Saturday of spring break. So
yeah, that's why I think it might be too soon, because I think we have some family plans, I think, for most of the week. But that's great. I think you're on the right track doing this. I would like to see more classes being taught for women by women, and I'm glad you're getting all these certifications. Before we conclude this interview, one more time, tell everybody your website again.
It's www.fastdefensefamily.com.
Fastdefensefamily.com.
Yep.
And in case anybody's been wondering, she's in Fort Worth, so she's only about 45 minutes from where I live. And good. Thanks. Thanks for coming on the show, Andrew. I appreciate that. I think this is going to speak really loudly to female shooters out there.
Good. I really think that women need to get involved more, and we just need a little bit of a comfort zone to get in.
I really like your idea of women taking other women out to the range for the moral support. That's good. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you having me.
Thanks.
You're about to learn concealed carry secrets that most Americans will never know. With your free subscription to Concealed Carry Report, you will learn how to select the best carry holster, how to know when it's okay to use deadly force, self-defense video of the week, situational awareness tips from fellow subscribers who've had to defend themselves, politically incorrect commentary, unbiased product and gear reviews. Go to www.gunrightsradio.com/USCCA and sign up for your free subscription to Conceal Carry Report.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Ladies, get to one of Andrea's classes. You got time.
It's not till March 19th. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you're listening to this show, I think that's going to be a great class. I'm going to see if I can get my wife out to the next one that Andrea is going to teach. I really like the concept of women going with other women to the gun range. What do you think? Ladies, let me ask you a question. Would that make you more motivated? Would that kind of support you a little bit better? What do you think? It seems to me like it would. Of course, you know, I'm thoroughly unqualified to talk about women and guns because I don't know much about women and guns at all, which is why I wanted to get Andrea on this show, because obviously she can talk about it from the women's perspective, and she did a great job of that. Andrea, just a quick shout out to you. Thanks very much for your time. Looking forward to the next interview. Now, guys, as you heard, please don't buy your lady a gun and bring it home and say, here you go, honey. This is what I want you to shoot. It doesn't work that way, guys. Take the advice from the interview. Get her to a class. Let her pick it out. Get her to a range. Shoot lots of guns. See what she's going to like. I think going to a class, though, would be even better than going to a rental gun range. You know why? Hey, guys, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. If you take your woman to a rental gun range, you're probably going to be with her. And then you're going to start influencing her. Oh, hey, try this, try that. Well, you might like this, or you might like that. Leave her alone. Let her make her own decision. I really like that idea that Andrea covered on there. And I'm so glad that she's doing classes to encourage women to come and figure out for themselves what they want and then go out and select their own firearm. After all, they're going to defend their life with it, right? Isn't that why you get these? Isn't this a life-saving tool that you're about to carry? Hey, guys, it's a life-saving tool. Let them pick the tool that's going to be best for the job of saving their lives. And I'm talking about ladies. Same goes for you, right? Hey, us guys, we have to pick the tool that's going to save our life the best. That's why you'll never hear me say anything on this show to the effect of, if you don't have a brand X gun, in other words, insert whatever brand you want to insert, Glock, Kimber, Springfield, Smith & Wesson, Carr, Taurus, Rossi, whatever, I'm not going to play favorites with brands. Because every brand works a little bit different for different types of people. The real true judge, in my humble opinion, and folks, my opinion comes out, I just can't help it, is how well can you shoot with it? And how much are you willing to practice with it? And how much are you willing to train? For me, I just love shooting my Glock 19. I'm willing to practice with it. I'm willing to train like crazy with it, and I do. So that's why it's my gun of choice. Hey, look, you know, folks, the Glock 19 is certainly not the fanciest gun I could choose to carry by any means. Probably not the world's most accurate gun either that I could choose, but it is accurate enough. You'd be surprised what can be done with a Glock 19 or a Springfield XD9 compact or a Smith & Wesson M&P compact. Guns like that, of that platform, you'd be surprised. Put that gun into the hands of a good shooter. In the hands of a good shooter, you'll be shocked what that can do. Watch James Yeager from Tactical Response shoot a Glock 19. Watch Gabe Suarez and any of his instructors shoot Glocks. And you'd be amazed what they can do with those guns, folks. Most of it's about the shooter. You ought to watch Rob Leatham shoot a XD9 in competition. So before I stray too far off topic here, the whole point is, what's going to work for the woman in your life, guys? And only she can decide that. You can't decide it for her. Okay? All right, let's take a quick break here, 10 to 15 seconds worth, and then I'm going to get to some listener questions and feedback. Don't go away.
You're about to learn concealed carry secrets that most Americans will never know. With your free subscription to Concealed Carry Report, you will learn how to select the best carry holster, how to know when it's okay to use deadly force, self-defense video of the week, situational awareness tips from fellow subscribers who've had to defend themselves, politically incorrect commentary, unbiased product and gear reviews. Go to www.gunrightsradio.com/US. CCA and sign up for your free subscription to Concealed Carry Report.
Okay, everybody, time for the listener feedback. You know, finally now I'm stationary in my home office, and it is a real treat. I'm going to make this kind of quick because I don't want this to drag on too long. I don't like these podcasts to get too long. So let me start off with Brian, who just sent me an email. This is the same Brian that I mentioned in the last episode when I was doing the listener feedback. And what's interesting is he's the guy from Connecticut that went out and rented a whole bunch of guns. And he emailed me and he said that I was spot on about the reason why his wife and he rented a whole bunch of guns. He says they're both brand new to shooting, and they wanted to try as many as they could in different sizes and calibers to see what fit the best. Here's what they chose. He said his wife bought the Ruger SR9C, and he's waiting for an order of a fourth-generation Glock 19. So congratulations, Brian. That's great. I'm glad you did your homework, and I think that's going to serve you well. He also said that Connecticut introduced Senate Bill 1094 that would not only make high-capacity magazines illegal, but after 90 days of enactment, anyone who has not surrendered their high-cap mags would be guilty of a Class D felony. That's extreme, folks. First of all, they're not high-capacity magazines, Connecticut. They are normal-capacity magazines. Idiots. Anyway, that, you know, folks, the antis are going to try to figure out every way they can to get this done. You know, between people like this and Bloomberg and so forth, you know, folks, I really hope that you join all of the organizations that you can afford to join. Get your NRA membership renewed. Get your membership to the Second Amendment Foundation. Support my show with a $15 investment in the digital download, and I'll send half that money to the Second Amendment Foundation so they can help us fight our battles, folks. Our battle is far from over. You know, I know that we're winning, but we have a long way to go to continue to fight for our gun rights. So thanks for sending that in, Brian. Next up, PJ from someplace in California here. Let's see. Sunnyvale, California, Northern California. PJ wrote to me and said, stumbled across my podcast, gave me some compliments. Thank you. You know, I appreciate all the compliments, folks. It just kind of makes me a little bit self-conscious sometimes. Keep them coming. Hey, by the way, keep them coming. I love to hear them. I just don't like to talk about myself too much. If you guys didn't listen to this show, it wouldn't be possible, plain and simple. So I appreciate all the compliments. Keep them coming. And it is flattering. It just kind of somewhat of the self-conscious side sometimes in me comes out. Anyway, PJ asked me about my 9mm 1911 way back in episode number 39. I mentioned that I bought a Kimber 9mm 1911. And PJ wanted to know if I still had it. Yes, I do. Wanted to know why I didn't talk about it too much. Plain and simple, I haven't been shooting it much. And it's kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind things, you know. If I don't shoot it much, I don't think about it. But PJ, thanks very much for the reminder. I need to get out and shoot my Kimber. I think my round count on that thing now is around 375, maybe 400 rounds. And it's been fine, you know, even though I like to pick on Kimber pistols. Maybe I shouldn't pick on them so bad. This one has been pretty decent. And, you know, people say, hey, the 9mm was not meant to be shot out of a 1911. You know, people say, well, that platform wasn't designed for 9mm. But, you know, hey, I gotta say, I would bet my life on this. It's not necessarily my carry gun. The reason it's not my carry gun, folks, is it's just too heavy. It's a Kimber Pro Carry, and it's just too heavy. Why not carry my Glock 19, which is lighter and holds a heck of a lot more rounds? That's my opinion.
Now, in this same email, PJ brought up something about my comment from episode 7, episode 107, when I talked about Jared Loughner violating the law for lying on his 4473 form when he bought that Glock. PJ brought up that in Arizona, much like Washington, Oregon, and California, those states have made medical cannabis legal. And if Jared Loughner had a medical card by state law, he would no longer be really classified as an unlawful user of marijuana. Interesting. But here's the best point PJ makes in this email. This legal gray area has caused some problems in some states where people who are obeying the law are being denied permits as well as firearms. And PJ feels like this needs to have more discussion. You know, so, you know, I guess people who are legal in using marijuana are being denied permits to carry and denied the purchases of firearms. You know, my comment on that is, you know, the legalization of marijuana for medical reasons is very controversial. I really don't want to go there. I don't want to go into that argument at all. But if it is legal, if it is the law of the land, whether that's right or not, whether I agree with it or not, if it is the law of the land, people should not be denied a concealed carry permit. And they should not be denied the ability to buy a firearm. That's my opinion. So, you know, if people don't like it, change the law. But the law is the law. So, you know, PJ, thanks for bringing that up. Again, that's how I feel. The law is the law. And if someone is law-abiding, they should get their license. And they should be able to buy a firearm. If anybody has any ideas as to how we can, you know, fight this, if you support that these people should get a license and be able to buy a gun, as I do, I would be willing to investigate some ideas to allow these law-abiding citizens to own and carry firearms. So if anybody has any comments, jump on the forum or put some comments on handgunworld.com. PJ, thanks for that email. Now, another email recently from Miko. Miko sends me a lot of good stuff. I'm pretty sure Miko's from Finland. Hey, Miko, if I got that wrong, set me straight, but I'm pretty sure Miko is from Finland. He gave me some interesting info here on Glocks regarding one of my more recent episodes. He wanted to remind me that when you're buying a fourth-generation Glock, to be mindful that the fourth-generation upper is not compatible with the Generation 3 receiver because of the new recoil spring system. That's something that I had heard, but I did mention or forgot to mention that on the last podcast, so I'm glad, Miko, that you're bringing that up. And I'm kind of struggling with my speech here a little bit, folks, because I am suffering from a cold right now. Hit me like a ton of bricks today, so I'll do the best I can here to get through. If you hear a little bit of a raspy voice like that, it's because I'm doing everything I can here to fight this sore throat. So let's see. He also wanted to mention that when I was talking about the listener that put a comment on YouTube about having a problem with the car P380 with a light primer strike on a round, Miko said it might have been a headspace problem. He says he really doubts that good quality self-defense ammo did not have proper crimping or did not have proper primers. Yeah, especially, and I agree, Miko, you know, because the commenter said that it was with Corban DPX. Hey, Corban DPX's quality control is outstanding, folks. I have shot a lot of that ammo. I don't even know what my round count is with Corban DPX. I mean, it's, you know, and that stuff's so expensive. But I've spent a lot of money on shooting it because I want to make sure that my guns run fine with that ammo. Never a problem. So, you know, you could be right. It could be a headspace problem. And the other thing that Miko brought up is that guy should check to make sure that he doesn't have a bunch of oil inside the firing pin channel. You know, not just Glocks, folks, but many pistols will have a problem with that. Get too much oil in that firing pin channel and you're going to cause some problems. On guns that are designed like locks and cars, if you field strip that thing and you flip the slide over and lay the slide down on the table upside down, you'll see a little hole. That hole will be right behind the ejection port.
That's where you don't want to get any oil in that hole, because it will seep into the firing pin channel. And definitely with Glocks and probably with cars, pistols that are designed that way, it is going to cause a problem with misfires in your pistol if you get too much oil. It starts to gum up in there, and it starts to collect a bunch of crap in there, and it slows down the travel of the firing pin. So thanks, Miko. Last but not least, Joe wrote back. This is the Joe that was talking about a couple of good deals he got on some used guns from the last episode when I was covering listener comments. And he's got a pretty good plan here that I want to share with you. This is his strategy in getting good deals on used guns. He writes to me, number one, be patient. It took me 5 years to find a 1911 I wanted at the price that I wanted to pay. Number two, do your research. He says, I wanted a government model and narrowed it down to three or four brands I was willing to get. He read reviews by owners and so forth, checked the gun auction sites, and finally he settled on the gun that he picked out. Number three, spread the word. Talk to your gun buddies. Let them know what you're looking for. And, you know, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that, Joe. Thanks. That's, you know, I mean, you start talking to people. Tell them what you're looking for. You never know who they might know that has something that you want to buy. Number four, don't blow off the gun shows. Either go early on the first day to get the bargains. Boy, isn't that true. You know, gun, at least here in Texas, that's true. You know, gun shows, by the time you get there, if you're there too late, I mean, if 3 or 4 hours have gone by and you haven't shown up yet, it seems like everything gets picked over. I don't know if the gun dealers are coming with low inventory levels lately or what. But they do. The good deals do seem to go fast, even if there are any good deals at gun shows. I mean, that's some people say that that gun shows are a good place to go and pay a high price for a gun. I don't know. Number five, he says, maintain your gun fund. You never know when a good deal is going to show up, and cash on hand is hard for a seller to turn down. Isn't that the truth? Start socking some cash away little by little. I've done that. Maintain your gun fund. And number six, don't just give up and buy something. Just stick to your plan. In other words, don't get in a hurry to buy a gun. Just stick to your plan. You'll find that gun you want. You'll find it you'll get a good deal on it, especially if you're buying new too. You know, watch the sales folks. Don't be in a hurry. You know, Joe's whole point here is don't be in a hurry. And boy, isn't that the truth. So thanks, Joe. Hey, I appreciate that. There's a good six-step plan for buying a used gun. Be patient, do your research, spread the word, don't blow off the gun shows, maintain your gun fund, and don't just give up and buy something for the sake of buying something. Okay, that's the most recent listener feedback. So, folks, keep it coming. Keep the comments coming. And thanks. I hope you enjoyed episode number 112 here, Women and Guns. And ladies, I hope that you've been able to get something out of this episode. One more thank you to Andrea Clark for coming on the show and giving us that great interview. I wish you could have seen that demonstration as she was racking the slide. I'm going to see if I can get her to produce a YouTube video on that. So, let me go ahead and get signed off. Thanks again for listening to another episode. I am Bob Main. I'm your host. This is the Handgun World Show. And you know what, folks? The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. I'm going to go to bed, take a nap, and try to kick this cold. I'll catch you later.